Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
I am excited about this Christmas season and what it will bring for us as we as a church contemplate God's light, God's powerful light. You've probably used the phrase many times before. Well, that sheds some light on the subject. We understand that light really does bring with it a certain amount of understanding, a certain amount of wisdom, a certain amount of truth. And so when we talk about God's light, we can certainly understand that as it relates to us, that it certainly has this impact of revealing many things to us. Last Sunday, Pastor Steve began our new series, which we're calling Illuminate. And we're allowing this whole Christmas season, what in the church we call the Advent season, to be a time where we consider and really welcome Jesus as the light of the world. His sermon was so well done last week. I'd encourage you to get online to our webpage, as all of our messages are put there. You can grab a hold of that if you weren't with us last week and listen to it, as it really sets the stage well for us understanding that Jesus is the light and that His light also works through us, that we also then reflect His light to our world. So as a church throughout this time, we've darkened our windows. You may notice it's pretty dark in here. We've lowered the lights. We've put a manger on the platform. During our worship time, that manger had light coming out from it. I'm not sure if it will again. Matt's working on that. The words of our songs and our messages, you know, they want to reflect the power of God's light. I don't know if you've picked up on it, that the songs reflect the warmth of God's light. And we're also going to be talking about the usefulness of God's light as well. So today, we consider how light reveals. Julie did such a powerful job in lighting of our Advent candles today, telling us and really reminding us of the power of light in a morning sun. Also acknowledging that God's light is really the only light that can reveal truth to us, that can clean us, that can move us out of darkness. Let's talk about darkness for just a moment. Have you ever been kept in the dark? Like you all are in the dark right now for me. Have you ever been kept in the dark about something and it just really kind of frustrates you? Think of a moment in time where you feel like everybody knows something, or at least somebody else knows something, and you're the one person who you feel like doesn't know it. You're totally left in the dark. What happens in those moments that our mind kind of goes crazy and works overtime, doesn't it? Typically, we assume the worst. It's really easy to get paranoid and really think bad things about other people. Usually, when a little light is finally shed on the subject, we realize it wasn't as bad as we'd feared that it was. It probably wasn't as big a deal as we probably made it to be. But when it's in the darkness, we're just left to assume. And humanity does a great job of assuming the worst all the time. There are also those times when we do a really good job of keeping everybody else in the dark about our own life. There are those times, sometimes they're the darkest times we've ever experienced, when we will do whatever it takes to stay hidden. That the last thing that we want is to allow other people to have light shed on who we are. We hide the truth. Shame does a great job of building walls all around us. And we hide our sin, we hide our doubts, we hide the things that would embarrass us, we hide the things that we feel no one else would understand. Keep it in the dark. Keep it hidden. Our spirit probably knows that it's wrong, but our mind begins to justify that the darkness is right. Our mind begins to justify that the darkness is even acceptable. And so we tell ourselves, no one will know if we just keep it in the dark. I'm afraid that that's too often our story. Pornography has gripped our culture and torn it to shreds, and we don't want to talk about it. Let's keep it in the dark. Embezzlement. Have you been tempted to twist the books just a little bit to gain a little advantage? Maybe gambling gone a little too far. You just can't stop. Alcohol that's out of control. Prescription medications for a high. A joint here, a hit there. Darkness surrounds these things. And it, in a way, we do a great job of keeping them in the dark. And it's not until the church, and it's not until we as followers of Christ are willing to allow light to shed on these things that we can actually deal with them. How many of you have tried to put a puzzle together in the dark? It doesn't happen. I find it kind of fun to do as much as I can in the dark. There are just little things I just find kind of mesmerizing to do in the dark. And I like to just kind of feel my way around a room sometimes. Then there are other times that it terrifies me. Ever since I was a little kid, going down or up the stairs in the dark was terrifying. I think it had something to do with the boogeyman and maybe an older brother who tormented me. And it's just in my subconscious now. But if I were, you know, to awaken in the morning. I lived in a two-story home in Indiana, and if I were to awaken in the morning and I was dying of thirst, like I just needed something to drink, and I would walk out of my bedroom and I would look down that stairway and it was just utter darkness down there, I would never go there. Likewise, if I was the last one going to bed, even as a teenager, and I turned out all the lights, locked all the doors, did everything you're supposed to do to your home, and the light wasn't on to the staircase, or I shouldn't turn it on because I'd wake up mom and dad or whatever. If I had to go up the stairs and it was dark behind me, I'd run for all my life, which probably had a good waking up effect for my parents. So the light turning on probably would have been just fine. But I was always afraid that someone was going to chase me from downstairs. It was a weird feeling. I was going up, no joke, going to bed last night, leaving my basement, which is where I finalize a lot of stuff for Sunday morning, and all the lights are off, and I'm walking up the stairs. There's light into the kitchen. I can see light, but I had that same stinking emotion that took me back to when I was 14 years old going, I want to turn around to see if someone's following me. It's a weird thing. I'm a weird man. There are moments the darkness is comforting. And there are moments where darkness grips you. And it's scary. Even as a 39-year-old man trying to just go to the kitchen. Why is it that we're comfortable with some forms of darkness and scared of other forms? Just a question to think about. We use the scripture as a part of the skit. It was from the book of Daniel. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells within him. That's what we're going to be focusing on today. The light that dwells within the Almighty. In the end, this is truth. The light of Jesus reveals the truth while darkness tries to conceal it. The light of Jesus reveals what darkness is ultimately wanting to conceal. I began to think this week, where did light begin? Where did light come from? What's its source? Have you ever wondered what the world was like, you know, before? I mean, have you ever sat back and thought, before all of this was created, what was? Our minds are so limited, we really can't even imagine it. So I actually, you know, spent some time thinking about this. The scriptures say that God is the Alpha and Omega, which really means He's the beginning and the end. Before Him there was nothing. After Him there will be nothing. He has always been, forever will be. Science tells us and dates our world to be billions of years old. Scripture records about 6,000 years of human history. Who's to know? Who's to know the truth about any of this? But I'll tell you this. No matter what, you can look at... So no matter if you believe the world is old or new, you can look at our history and see an amazing transformation in the last just 2,500 years. From going from nomadic tribes spread all across the globe to empires and conquering kingdoms to a population that I thought I just heard back in October just topped 7 billion. That's amazing to me in just a short amount of time. Humans, if humans have been around hundreds of thousands of years, I'm not sure how to explain all the incredible advances just in the past 300 years, let alone the last 30 years, let alone the last 20 or 10 years for that matter. It seems like everything around us is accelerating at a pace that we have never experienced before. Genesis records the creation account, the beginning of time through our scriptures this way. That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Then the very first recorded words of God. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. Now I find this interesting. Before any of this happened, there was God, but there was no light. At least not on the earth. His Spirit was on the scene, but there was no mention of light. Not until the very first day. God's recorded words, "Let there be light," are so powerful. It kind of makes me wonder, why? Why did He need to create it? Why was it the very first thing that God spoke into existence? Now, I don't know if there's a correlation here between the very first thing God spoke into existence, the light, and the very last thing He spoke into existence, which was mankind, and then how He has used that light to work in our life. But I find it intriguing. I also find it very fascinating that He didn't give us the sources of light until day four. There was light, but no sun. There was light, but no stars. There was light, but no moon to reflect its source. Oh, our minds are having a hard time wrapping around that, aren't they? God is the light. And I know this because when you look at the end of the story, when you look at the book of Revelation, when we get to see God's kingdom, there it is. A great picture of it. Revelation chapter 21. "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine for it or shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there." God's light is everything for us. "The earth was dull and void, but heaven is brimming with light because the Lord is there and all of His glory is there." So hard for us to imagine. And yet it's so true. Without light, there would be no life. That's why God provides it for us. Vegetation can't go on without light. And I know this all too well because 7th grade science class is teaching about photosynthesis. And I have the privilege of studying it and learning it all over again. You remember the photosynthesis equation? Some do. 6 parts carbon dioxide, 6 parts water, little magic from the sun, right? Produces glucose, which is C6H12O6, 6 parts oxygen. I am smarter than a fifth grader. In one area. Now, I know this to be true. Life is dependent upon light, physically. But what you have to know and what you need to believe today, if you're questioning this, is that life is dependent upon His light spiritually as well. What we need and what we gain from the sun is so important. Life could not be sustained without it. But I'm telling you, without God's light in our souls, without God's light revealing Himself to us, we're dead. We're hopeless spiritually. There is no amount of church, there's no amount of religion, there's no amount of preaching, there's no amount of singing that can give us God's light. It only comes from Him. And it speaks deep within us. I'd like to share with us two distinct times that the light was used to reveal things to two completely different types of people in Scripture. If you have your Bibles, it will be very difficult for you to read it today. But we're going to spend time in Acts chapter 9 and in Luke chapter 2. Acts 9, Luke 2. Now, I'm pretty confident in saying this. I'm not sure that Acts 9 has ever been a passage of Scripture that's been used during an Advent sermon series. Acts chapter 9 introduces to us a young man by the name of Saul. Saul is not your ordinary follower of God. He was devoted to the point that you would either love him or you were absolutely annoyed by him. He was the teacher's pet. He could quote scriptures better than you. He could quote the law better than you. He followed the law better than you. Saul was annoying. But he was very committed to the Almighty God. He trained under a very powerful rabbi. He was a radical defender of the Torah, which was God's Hebrew scriptures. He was so radical, in fact, that he was willing to capture and put to death anyone who stood against God's known law, especially anyone who followed the way, which was the new word given to the people who were embracing Jesus Christ as Messiah. Saul was a strong follower of God, so extremely set in his ways and stubborn as a mule. Not so different from some of us sitting here today. Not so different from myself. He believed with every fiber of his being that what he was doing, the path he was on, was not only right, but it was being blessed by God. Acts chapter 9 records the story of Saul seeking to weed out the followers of Jesus in a town called Damascus. Now, where Saul was from was Tarsus. Where he was dwelling and learning under his rabbi was probably the city of Jerusalem. So he went to the leaders in Jerusalem who had not that long ago condemned Jesus to die on a cross. He went to those leaders and he wanted to go seek out what was going on in Damascus. Damascus was a town 150 miles away, 4 to 6 days journey away. But there was rumblings, there was words that in this powerful city of Damascus, the way was growing. The words of Jesus had reached there, and there were people following it and being turned away from God, according to Saul's understanding. So, we pick up in chapter 9 of Acts, in verse 3. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he heard. "Now get up and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there, speechless. They had heard the sound, but didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. And for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. This amazing story of Saul's life involves God's light revealing something very powerful to him. It's easy for us, really, to think about what Saul will become and to who he is. We've known him as Paul. We'll get to why that is in just a moment. We think of him as being this spiritual giant, this man who stood for so much truth and suffered so much for the cause of Christ. But we need to also see him as a man who in this moment was utterly convinced that Jesus was not right. In this moment, he was utterly convinced that it was his godly duty to go put this message of Jesus to death. Saul was so consumed by what he believed that he had not allowed the light of God in to reveal truth to him. I imagine it might have been near dusk. Kind of, you know, that moment where the light of the day is just getting a little bit further away. And Saul's entourage can probably see the city lights over the hillsides. And they know they're close and they're just wanting to get to the city. They've been traveling all these many days. I wonder if Saul's mind was thinking about what tomorrow would be like and how many followers of Jesus they would find on this trip and take back to Jerusalem to be put to death. I wonder if he was even praying that to God and asking for his blessings on this endeavor. Maybe he was seeking God's blessing in a new and fresh way. That's the picture of this man you need to understand. He was so focused on what he believed was the right thing that he had forgotten to stay in tune with the right thing. Out of completely nowhere, completely unannounced, without warning, the light hits this man, and in that instant, the light reveals Saul's errors. The light reveals when it hits him and he falls to the ground, it immediately reminds Saul of his errors and shows him the errors of his ways. It humbled this once strong and self-made man to become dependent on others to help him even get to a place to sleep that night. He'd lost his ability to see. He'd lost his desire to eat or drink. It brought him to his knees. Time doesn't allow us really to permit to tell the rest of the story of how Saul was received by the church there. You can only imagine. They heard that Saul was coming and they heard that he was coming for them. So they're just thinking when Saul approaches them and that this must be a trick. You can understand why they were a little leery to embrace Saul, but they did. They embraced this transformed man because God's light had shined on him. Here's the cool thing. As painful and as difficult as this revealing process had to have been for Saul, it ultimately also proved to be good for him. It put him on the right path. Not only did the revealing of God's light show him the errors of his ways, but it also put him on the right path. What comes from God's light is not condemnation, as Julie said. Not condemnation only. What comes from God's light is the direction that we're all so hungry to experience. And sometimes in that redirection, we have to come up and own the fact that we've been on the wrong path for too long. That's what Saul was experiencing. Everything he believed was changed when God's light surrounded him. Everything he thought he knew, he now realized was silliness because of God's light. And he was so hungry to stay in the light that he changed his once very proud Hebrew name of Saul and took on what he had already been given at birth was a Roman name because he was a Roman citizen and took on that name of Paul. Put all of his Jewish pride aside and allowed God to just totally break him because of God's light. Are you open to experiencing the light of Jesus this Christmas season? Are you open to God's light coming out of absolutely nowhere and grabbing you and making you uncomfortable and maybe even life-changing experiences that can come from experiencing it? We talked in our mission sermon series of last month about God's transforming love. That's what this light has to feel like. It's transforming. It's life-altering. It is truth marching forward. It can happen in reading Scripture or in how you might even treat or communicate with a complete stranger. You never know when God's light will come. It could happen in praying and seeking Him, or it could happen in how you see a young child playing. We were cutting down our Christmas tree yesterday, and there was a nativity scene at this place. And this little girl, probably no more than 3 years old, went up to it and knelt down next to the little manger. Caught Corbin's attention. That's a moment of God's light shining down. You never know when God will warm your heart and bring things to your attention. Worshiping and singing to Him. It could happen then, or it could just happen in the way you treat everyone as if they were Jesus Himself. There's another story I wanted to share. Luke chapter 2. It tells the story of Christ's arrival. It's the common passage of Scripture that we would read on Christmas Day. But it tells a story of light coming down on a group of people whom you might not have anticipated. There was a group of men working third shift out in the fields, out of the suburbs of Bethlehem. Their job was to protect their sheep in the night. These were men who for so long have not felt God's presence. These were men that society had said, we don't really value you. We value your product, but we really don't value you. Shepherds at one time in the history of Israel were revered. But in this time and in this day and age, they were set aside as kind of annoying men. They were uneducated. They stunk. They would come into town and create havoc. They were the kind of people you wouldn't want your son or daughter hanging around, for sure. And so there they are, faithfully outside, watching the sheep, making sure they're safe, under the cover of darkness, both physically and quite a bit spiritually too. Luke chapter 2 tells of the night that these men had an incredible announcement given to them. Now, you might expect that God would announce the arrival of His Son to, you know, His high priest. Surely God would let the high council of Israel know about the arrival of their Messiah. Doesn't that make sense? No. The Lord God Almighty chose to announce the arrival of Jesus to the very people He came to save. Those who had felt outside. Those who were left in the dark. Those who had not been embraced to come in, but those who had been pushed further out. So in this calming night, an angel of the Lord appears. This is from Luke chapter 2. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. You can only imagine. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. If you don't believe me, this is what you look for. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, we've read these words so many times that it doesn't stand out to us. We're talking to a group of shepherds. We're talking to a group of people who use mangers for radically different things than putting babies in. But we're also talking to a group of people who will know that in the city of David, there are a few places to look where there would be a manger. They know because they visit those places frequently. So they go and they find this baby. The Message paraphrase says that when the angel appeared and this great host came, that God's glory blazed around them with such great light. So this group of misfits, they go and they find this amazing scene. This marginalized crowd of people who had felt like God had no purpose for them, God's light revealed something special to them. the birthplace of the Messiah. For Saul, he was self-righteous, self-made, convinced of so many things, but the light revealed the errors of his ways and put him on the right path. But for these shepherds, they were self-condemned, and the light revealed their shame. The light came into their life and revealed their shame, but it did something marvelous for them, because what it ultimately did is that it told them that they were worthy to be in God's presence. They were worthy to worship this baby king. Sometimes God's light reveals where we're off. Sometimes, friends, God's light needs to come in and reveal that He is here, that He loves us, that He's here for us, and that we are worthy to worship Him. So are we to expect this Christmas that God will physically manifest Himself as light and reveal our errors or put us on the right path? Are we going to say through this whole time that, you know, you just need to stay up late and wait for an angel to appear in the night sky? No. I'm not sure where you are today. I'm not sure how you view God's light today. If it's something to be feared and something you would rather just avoid so that you can stay in the darkness, or if it's something that you would like to embrace. But I'm here to tell you that when God's light comes, it doesn't come to slam you down. It comes to free you up. Saul had been so consumed by what he thought was right, but now when the light had come, he was free of all of that. He was free to love all mankind. He was free to do what he knew God was calling him to do. The shepherds had been so consumed by their shame and by their sin and by everything that had pushed them away, and now all of a sudden they were free to go find this Jesus and worship Him. I believe that they became changed men that night, transformed by God's love. This same Saul penned the words to a church in Corinth, a church that he had a very important part in starting. He says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the very face of Christ." It's in the face of this baby that we celebrate this Advent season that we are able to see God's light. It's in the face of this Christ child that God's glory will shine in us and reveal truth and knowledge. That light that will give us hope, trust, and love. Are you seeking the light of the world today? The light of the world, Jesus Christ? Are you seeking that light today? I hope that you are. Has God's light revealed, maybe even today, this morning, errors within you? Things that have kind of got you off the right path and on to a wrong direction? Respond to His light today. Has God revealed to you that you are worthy to come to Him and worship Him? That you don't need to feel His shame any longer. Respond to Him. Worship Him today. Come into that light. Because when the light shines on you, life is worth living. When the light shines on you, life is worth living. Pray with me. Lord God, make Your light to shine upon us. Reveal our sin. reveal where we're not right with You. But also, would You speak truth into who we are and allow us to come before You boldly, reverently, humbly, and seek Your presence. Fill us with Your light. Amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.